Well, today we're in the book of Genesis, chapter 41. We've been here following the life of Joseph. Last time we were together, Joseph interpreted the dream of the butler and the baker. They both get out of jail. The butler is restored to his former position as cupbearer to the king. And the baker, of course, you know what happened to him. He lost his head in the matter. And Joseph is forgotten by the butler. Remember, as the butler was getting out, Joseph said, "Now remember, when you get out, put in a good word to Pharaoh for me." And he is forgotten for two more years. And then Pharaoh has some dreams, and the butler finally remembers Joseph. Genesis chapter 41. Let me read the passage of Scripture, verses 1 to 24. "Then it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river seven cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the seven fine looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time. And suddenly seven heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, seven thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the seven thin heads devoured the seven plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, 'I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him.' Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I've had a dream. There's no one who can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it.' So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace.' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Behold, in my dream, I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly, seven cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I've never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have ever known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as the beginning. So I awoke. I also saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up on one stalk, full and good. And then behold, seven heads withered and thin, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me." Father, we come in your presence today and pray that as we look into your word, this Old Testament story of Joseph, God, as you revealed to Joseph what was going on, reveal to us not only understanding of the text, but help us, Father, to see what you would have us to learn from it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Pharaoh has disturbing dreams in verses 1 to 13. And two full years go by, and Joseph is still in prison. Remember the butler, right before he left and got out of jail, Joseph said, "Now remember, when you stand before Pharaoh, put in a good word for me. Tell him that I don't deserve to be in this place. And remember me, and, you know, I interpreted your dream for you. So, of course, the butler said, sure, I'll definitely do that. And I can imagine Joseph sitting there for the first few days. Well, he probably has got to get to meet Pharaoh. And then a week goes by, and Joseph probably thinks, he should have talked to Pharaoh by now. 2 weeks go by, and says, oh my goodness, what's going on? A month goes by, and another month goes by, and Joseph is waiting, waiting, waiting. Have you ever been there? Waiting for something to happen? That great theologian, Dr. Seuss, has a poem entitled The Waiting Place. It reads like this: waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Some of you are going to be waiting a long time for that. Everyone is just waiting. You know, life is full of waiting places, isn't it? And none of us really enjoy waiting. In fact, waiting is one of life's most irritating experiences. There's the waiting of a single person to see if God has marriage in store for him or her. There's the waiting of a childless couple who desperately wants to start a family, but day after day and week after week, their prayer goes unanswered. There's the waiting of someone who longs to have work that's meaningful and significant and seems to matter, but it just doesn't seem to happen. There's a waiting of a spouse that's trapped in a hurting marriage that seems unable to change. Waiting is the hardest work of hope. When we turn to the Bible, God Himself, who is all wise and all loving, assures us to wait. He says in Psalm 37:7, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Joseph is waiting. Pharaoh, in the meantime, has two disturbing dreams. The first dream is about seven fat cows being eaten up by seven skinny cows. Every time I read this passage of scripture in the Bible, you know what I think about? I think about ice cream, okay? There's an actual brand called Skinny Cows. And there's an actual brand called Fat Boys. Okay, not Fat Cows, but Fat Boys. How many of you like Fat Boys? A lot of women have their hands up, I know that. And it doesn't say Fat Girls, it says Fat Boys. Now, I don't know, but they probably wouldn't sell much if it was called Fat Girls. But they call them Fat Boys. I don't know, I have a weird imagination. That's what I think about every time. And that's what Pharaoh has this dream. They come up out of the river, the first group, they come up out of the river, and in Pharaoh's dream, these seven fat cows come out of the Nile and were eaten up or consumed by the gaunt cows. The Egyptian coloring of this dream is very evident because back in those days, the cows would go down into the Nile River to get cooled off and to escape some of the biting insects. And then when they got hungry, they come up to feed in the meadow. And that's what this strange dream, he has this dream of these skinny cows eating them up. And then he wakes up, and that was disturbing. And he goes back to sleep, and he has another disturbing dream. And this one is about full heads of grain and devoured by thin heads of grain. Now, in the King James, it says corn, but corn was a generic word for any kind of grain. But it's probably wheat, because Egypt had a lot of wheat there. So these were lifelike, crazy dreams. But actually, these dreams were a message from God. God gave this pagan king these dreams to let him know what was going to happen in the future. And God spoke through the dreams of this pagan king. God spoke a lot of times in the Old Testament through dreams and through prophets, but God still speaks to people today. Not necessarily through dreams, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in the past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. We can hear the revelation, the words of God through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Bible. God has communicated something to us. God is still speaking to our hearts through his word. The book of Hebrews says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the dividing asunder of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In other words, God's word brings his revelation to us, and it speaks to our hearts. So when you hear God's word preached, or when you study it and you read it, or you hear it on the radio or online, God can speak to your heart through his word. He still speaks today. Well, with Pharaoh, no one could tell Pharaoh an answer to his dream. So he called in all the magicians and the wise men. In other words, these were the smartest people that Pharaoh had. They were expert in interpreting dreams. They were understanding of all kinds of things. And they had books that they would consult. And they went through all of this. And they did not even give an answer to Pharaoh. Usually they would guess, but they didn't even guess. They usually would guess to try to cover themselves, but God did not let them have any idea how this came out. They were blinded to the revelation of God. They couldn't understand. You know, there is the same truth today. There is someone who blinds people to the simple gospel truth. And his name is the devil. He's called the God of this age. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians to let them know in Second Corinthians 4:3, "But if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age," that's the devil, "has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Today, when the gospel is preached, it's so simple. The fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and when he died, he took all of the sins of all humanity upon him. He died as an atonement, our substitute, and all we have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, and we can be saved. But a lot of people just scratch their head and it goes right over them. What in the world are you talking about? They're blinded to the truth, just like these magicians couldn't understand God's revelation to them. Well, as all of these people are coming in, and probably Pharaoh is surrounded with his whole court of all kinds of smart guys. And the butler, of course, remember the butler is a cupbearer, and he's the one that held the king's wine, and he's probably holding the king's wine, and he sees all these people, and he hears this dream, and they can't understand, and he has one of these, "Oh, I should have had a V8 moments. I remember something now. I know a guy. Pharaoh, I knew a guy. Remember when, Your Highness, when you had to put me into jail for a while, you know, because of suspicion that I did something wrong? Remember, I was in there, and you threw the baker in there too. And we were there, and we had dreams. And there was this Hebrew servant, Hebrew slave, that was there that noticed us and noticed our sadness and said, 'Hey, tell me what's going on. Tell me your dream.' And we told him our dreams, and guess what, Pharaoh? Guess what? This guy told me that I would be restored, and he told the baker that he would be hanged." And then he has one of these, "Oh, I should have remembered. I forgot." Can you sympathize with that? Can you forget things occasionally? Like every day, the older we get, the more we forget, right? And this guy finally remembers Joseph. He remembers, though. So Joseph is called in to interpret the dreams in verses 14 to 24. So Joseph stands before Pharaoh. The word gets to the prison. Look at verse 14. "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They brought him quickly out of the dungeon And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. Egyptian people didn't usually wear beards in that day, as the Hebrews did. And usually they're very clean cut. If you looked at some of the hieroglyphics and some of the ancient pictures in the tombs of the pharaohs, you'll see that most of the Egyptians are portrayed as being beardless and clean shaven. So Joseph had to go shave himself, change his clothes, prepare to meet Pharaoh. It's the third time in 13 years that he gave up his garment. Remember? This coat of many colors, and then the one that Mrs. Potiphar grabbed a hold of and jerked off of him, and now he's giving up his garment again. But this time, he would gain the garment of a ruler. If I'm going to meet the king, I got to do something about the way I look. My appearance must be appropriate if I'm to enter his presence. So he goes and he finally stands before Pharaoh. And in verse 15, it says this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I've had a dream. There's no one who can interpret it. I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it." So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It's not in me. I can't do it. But I know a man. I know God. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." So Joseph glorifies God in this incident. Pharaoh says, according to my sources, you're the man with the answers. Tell me what my dreams mean, and I will make it worth your while. Joseph says, it's not in me, but God can. Joseph directs and redirects the glory that he was going to receive to God. You know, I believe that's a beautiful pattern for us. Whenever someone compliments us for something that we're able to do, something that we're able to accomplish, maybe some of our talents, maybe some of our abilities or hard work or whatever, it's always appropriate for us to give glory to God, because he's the one that put the song in our mouth. He's the one that put the brains in our head. He's the one that gives us strength and skill in our hands and the ability to live and to breathe. And everything that we have is a gift coming from God. And we need to be honest enough to give him glory for that and not soak up all of the pleasure, all of the recognition for ourselves. Joseph glorifies God in this. Well, the dreams are revealed. 7 fat cows, 7 skinny cows, 7 full heads of grain, 7 withered heads of grain. And Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams. So, the first thing that he says, 7 good years are coming. For 7 years, Pharaoh, the land of Egypt is going to have abundant harvests. I mean, there's not going to be any drought. There's not going to be any disease. There's not going to be any plague of locusts to come. The government's not going to come and tell you to put the land on set aside. There's going to be 7 years of abundant harvests. Best harvest you've ever had, 7 years in a row. And then, after that, Pharaoh, the 7 skinny cows, remember those skinny cows? Those ugly-looking cows, you know? Pharaoh says, they're the ugliest cows I've ever seen. You know, that's a way to insult a farmer. You're dirt on your face and your cows are ugly. You know, that's some of the Iowa coming out of me. I'm sorry. I just had to say that. But the seven skinny cows and the 7 thin grain is going to be 7 years of famine are coming. Listen to what it says in verse 27. And the 7 thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I've spoken to Pharaoh. God shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great plenty will come throughout the land of Egypt, and after that 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. And verse 32, and the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. This is not just an average, ordinary weather forecast. You know, when you're watching the weather, do you really believe everything that weather person says? And you go out there and you're expecting a sunny day. No, you put an umbrella in the car because it's only a guesstimate. Well, Joseph is not just predicting the weather. This is a message from God. You're going to have these 7 abundant years, and then you're going to starve to death for 7 years. Be ready, because God says it's going to happen. Not a weather forecast. So, after this, after Pharaoh, or Joseph reveals to Pharaoh what's going to happen, he gives him some good advice. Verses 33 to 36. Now, therefore, Pharaoh, select a discerning and wise man, set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh. Let them keep the food in cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So God's revelation demanded action on the part of Pharaoh. Joseph advised Pharaoh to choose this wise man who would oversee the storing of 20% of the grain during each of those years of plenty for the coming years of famine, and also build storehouse cities to store it. Now, when you think about it, 7 years, 20% a year, that's 140%. Well, that's more than you need. Well, guess what? They're going to be selling the grain to foreign nations and everybody that's coming to them. So they'll be able to wisely use that extra for the future. So Joseph was telling Pharaoh, you're going to need a strict, well-organized rationing process. When you have plenty, the tendency for us is to spend plenty. When you get a little more, you spend a little more. And Joseph is saying, that's got to stop. When you have all of this grain, you need to store it, because you know what's going to happen now. You need to have a man to take responsibility for managing those 7 years of fruitfulness. And you know what a lot of people would do when Joseph was standing before Pharaoh giving this advice? And Pharaoh, I know somebody that could really do a good job. And, you know, I'm just out of prison. I don't have a job to do. So, you know, you can choose me for the job and I'll be glad to it. No, he didn't say anything like that. He doesn't promote himself. He doesn't manipulate the moment. He doesn't drop hints. He stood there and waited. In the years he spent in slavery, he just waited on the Lord. In the years that he spent in prison, he just waited on the Lord. And now he's waiting again. He's waiting again. He says, if God is in this, God will do it. You ever feel that way? You ever come to a place where you need to make a decision? Give it into the Lord's hands. If God's in it, he'll do it. Often when there's a decision that I need to make and I don't actually know which one of those decisions to make, I've looked in the Bible, I haven't seen anything sinful about it, and I said, Lord, please, don't let me make a mistake. And he's honored that prayer a lot of times. So we need to put this into God's hand. And guess what? Pharaoh chooses Joseph. And we're going to look at that next week. But let me close out with a few practical applications. The first application is, only God has the answer to life's mysteries. All of the experts that Pharaoh called in, all of the wise men, the magicians, those that were the smartest people in the land, did not have a clue. Kind of reminds me of an old nursery rhyme you may have heard. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You know, that's the way with our life that sometimes fall to pieces. And all of the wise people of this world, all of those that are suggesting things, they don't have a clue how to put Humpty Dumpty back together, but God can. God's word is a source of revelation. He's the one that can tell you what the future is. He can tell you how to get to heaven. He can tell you to have an abundant life. He can tell you all the mysteries. He is the one with the answer. Secondly, wise planning is a basic principle of living. You know, a lot of times we as Christians sometimes says, well, hey, it doesn't matter, you know, God's the one's in control. You know, God is in control. God is sovereign, but he expects us to be smart too, doesn't he? You know, if you're going to have something for the future, you better save it. You know, you've got to think these things through. Read the book of Proverbs about wisdom, about providing for your family, about working hard, about doing all these practical things of life. It's part of our spiritual word of God to be practical. And the last application is, we must not be afraid of telling people the whole truth. Pharaoh, I got some good news for you. You're going to have 7 abundant years, but I've got some bad years for you. For 7 years, you're going to have a famine. Just like the butler and the baker sermon, good news and bad news. Well, today, folks, I've got some bad news. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. But I've got some good news too. If you trust Christ as Savior, you're not only going to have eternal life in heaven. Jesus promised abundant life here below. We also have good news to share with the whole world.